This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's go around the NBA because there's a story out of Brooklyn that has changed the story once again on what we could see with the Dallas Mavericks and the entire association. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus and Lucius Alexander. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Mavs fans, I have a big question for you here coming up in just a second. Okay. But let's get to the story here. Lakers are the only team known to be angling for Kyrie Irving. He gave the Nets a list of six teams last week that he would accept a trade to. Then they gave him permission. Go ahead. Totally wide open. Find your own trade. He and his agent couldn't find anything other than Lakers. And right now, the Nets don't want any of the trade packages being offered back to Brooklyn. They're like, okay, no LeBron, no Anthony Davis. That's a big no from us. So it is possible that Kyrie Irving, and they're talking about this in the reports today, could actually decide to opt out of $35 million and instead just sign with the Lakers for $6.3 million. And that would be a pretty big shock to see an athlete. But everybody's saying Kyrie Irving's a different guy. He's made plenty of money, the shoe money, the basketball money. He's set. And, you know, maybe taking $29 million less to get back with LeBron James would be worth it for him. In that scenario, Brian, Russell Westbrook would be available. He would be extra. Would you trade the Los Angeles Lakers, your bad contracts, Tim Hardaway Jr., Davis Bertans, Dwight Powell, and they send you Russell Westbrook back. Now, before you say no, keep in mind, Russell Westbrook only has 1 year left on his deal. Those other guys have three or four. So it could put you in an advantageous position to get under the cap or maybe even bring Russell Westbrook in and see if you could make something happen. There's your ball handler.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, though, I know you're talking, yeah, I mean, you just said it, though. There's your ball handler. But I kind of feel like, though, that they're really going to lean on Tim Hardaway this year. I do.
Okay.
I feel like the Mavs are. I just kind of feel like, though, that if something happens where, say, they don't get anything back. Say they don't get anything back for Brunson.
Uh-huh.
Say if that's just a go. You know, he's gone. Then I think that what they're going to focus on is Hardaway and Wood. And their thought is that Wood's a better scorer than Brunson.
Okay.
Or better, you know.
You can see that in the stats.
Yeah. So.
Good shooter.
Yeah. They just want the thing. I think the most important thing for them is if they lose, then they feel like, well, we'll just go ahead and, you know, we've got Hardaway, we've got Wood. And we'll make this thing work the best we can.
So you see Hardaway as a pretty important piece for how next year is going to go with the rotation.
I just kind of feel like that's the case. If they get absolutely nothing from the Knicks, I think the Mavericks are looking at Hardaway as a piece that they're going to need.
Well, I think I do value Tim Hardaway Jr. quite a bit. I would love the idea, though, of getting back under the cap. You know, and
yeah.
Christian Wood's deal is coming off the books, and, you know, Russell Westbrook's deal would come off the books in one more year. You could essentially have a shot to try to make it work with Doncic and Westbrook. It wouldn't probably. So you trade him or you buy him out at some point during the regular season, you release him, and he goes off somewhere else. But coming up in 1 year's time, as we're getting ready for free agency 2023, yeah, it could be, you know, a more of a wide open thing than if, you know, contracts are just sitting on your books. Bertans is huge, yeah, $13 million. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s is big as well. At 877-881-1053, lean on Hardaway, the 214 asks, what is Brian smoking? Well, you know, I don't know if he's smoking anything, to be honest with you. I know him pretty well. But the other thing I know is that he has sources. And when he says something like that, maybe it's not just his opinion that he's firing off his back hip, but, you know, maybe something that comes from, you know, a well-researched destination.
I think I know quite a bit about football. I think I do. Basketball, I am learning about. It's difficult with all the exceptions and contracts and things. Bassick is brilliant. If you're listening to Mike Bassick, he's brilliant.
Obsessed with it. Yeah.
He loves all that stuff. So my responsibility is try to talk to people who can steer me the right way.
Huh.
And you're absolutely right. That's not my opinion. That's the Mavericks' opinion. They're gonna lean on Hardaway.
Let's not disparage any smokers, though, okay? Yeah. Brothers doesn't have to be smoking. How about he's sniffing glue? How about that?
There you go. Yeah. Something really bad for you.
Yeah. Respectfully, brothers. That's just, you know.
Absolutely.
What are you drinking? Diet soda?
Yeah, diet soda. Doing? Yeah, what am I doing? I just try and ask these questions. Like, well, are you worried about losing Brunson?
Yeah.
Are you worried? And they're like, yeah, there's a concern there. But, okay, well, what's the thought? What's the plan? I mean, that's why they go out and get a guy like with Wood.
So if you lose Brunson, then they'll say, well, we got Christian Wood, who's better offensively.
Yes.
So we're already better than we were in the playoffs.
Yes.
Plus you add Tim Hardaway Jr. to that rotation.
Yes.
And yes, it stinks to lose Brunson.
Right.
But we're getting two guys in compared to what we had in the playoffs and losing one who's kind of a flawed player. Yeah. Now, let's segue from there to a conversation specifically about Jalen Brunson. The news over the weekend is it's now just the Mavericks and Knicks on him, and there's a significant bit of momentum that says the Mavericks aren't going to do financially what it takes to just overcome what the Knicks have put on the table, and the mm-hmm. Knicks are going to put somewhere around $27-25 million on the table. Would you take it to $30 million to keep Jalen Brunson? Is he that good to you, or do the shortcomings of his game justify actually letting him walk?
I would be surprised if the Mavs did that. I would be surprised if that. I think the Mavs have a number. I don't know what that number is, but I don't think it's $30 million. I think the Mavs, listen to Mark Cuban after the Western Conference Finals, he was like, well, we can offer more money, but now they're in a situation where they might be up against it where the money that they offer, which would be really, really good, is not good enough for, you know, everything's lining up against them, you know? So, you know, you could say, oh, we can offer more money. Well, you know, fine, but if the player doesn't want to be here, that's a whole nother thing. And I just get the vibe talking to a bunch of people over there that they would be okay. Like they're gonna take this thing. They love Jalen Brunson, but they also realize though that paying him $25 to $27, $28, $30 million, whatever they're gonna have to pay, is also probably not good business for them.
Yeah, you can't think of Jalen Brunson in the context of what happened against Utah, can you?
Nope.
You got to keep in mind all of the other stuff. And maybe you don't make the conference finals if you don't have Jalen Brunson. I don't think you do. That was massive. But there are shortcomings in his game. I still think, though, the best thing to do would be to make a sign-and-trade happen with the Knicks, isn't it? Like, you don't want him just leaving. You want to get back another player that can help you win.
I think, but what I'm trying to say is, and I think everybody understands that if he does leave, that's their plan. It's not a perfect plan.
Yeah.
But they really do believe in Wood, and they believe in Hardaway.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it again to everybody out there. It sounds crazy, but that's the plan. If this guy just walks on you,
all righty. Do the Mavericks still want John Collins? As we continue to take you around the NBA, we go to Atlanta, where the Hawks are continuing their efforts to find a new home for Collins. In the offseason of 2021, the Mavs wanted this guy. And if Atlanta had decided to let him go, it might have been him and not Tim Hardaway Jr. that got that $20 million. But it is widely expected now Collins will be traded this offseason. Atlanta is looking to clear salary, and Collins and the Hawks appear ready for a breakup now. After last season, you know, they made the conference finals. And they were thinking, well, let's just re-rack everything. We got a good front court. Let's see where this goes. This year was much more realistic of a journey for Atlanta, and they lost in the first round. A source close to The Athletic, or close to Collins in The Athletic, says he's done in Atlanta. He wants nothing more to do with the Hawks. He did average 16 points, 8 rebounds, and a block per game. I wonder if they still want him after the acquisition of Christian Wood, because a trio of Kleba, Wood, and Collins would send you very, very close to the top. Collins is a mobile big man. He can rebound. He can score. He can shoot the three. And if they could get Collins and somehow part with Dwight Powell in any trade, I think that makes you a very, very formidable force and maybe the favorite in the Western Conference, Brian.
Yeah, no, I think that the ship has sailed on Collins. Even though, I mean, I'll tell you what, at that time when, you know, we'd had a lot of discussions about him, the type of player, the type of fit and all that, and it was all very, very positive. But I do feel like that ship has sailed with the Mavs.
Okay, pipe dream time. More on the Kevin Durant perspective in Brooklyn.
Does pipe dreams mean like crack pipe dream?
I don't know. I thought this would be more. It's such an old phrase. I would think marijuana.
I see. Yeah, it's got to be marijuana. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's
got to be cannabis. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. We got to change that, bro.
I say it all the time, too.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's, well, that's a pipe dream.
The disrespect is amazing.
That's a pipe dream.
Somebody have to be baked to think this is possible.
Oh, that's a pipe dream.
He's also upset with the Nets front office because he feels like they didn't do enough to understand Kyrie Irving's perspective on things. Mm. And, you know, that's funny in some ways.
For a sensitive guy, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy's going to think you didn't think about his what he was going through. You only thought about yourself.
Yeah, we don't. I think the answer from a business owner or a team is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't care.
Yeah,
we thought enough of the guy. We considered it enough to give him a max contract to come here, and he violated our trust. He violated the contract every couple of months, you know, and he was unreliable. So, but, you know, those are just our perspectives. What really matters here is what Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant think. And Kyrie is offended enough. Again, because he's sensitive to want out.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant is also annoyed enough with the Brooklyn Nets for him to want out as well. So now the story is both these guys are going to be gone. This is a story from Logan Murdoch in The Ringer. He spent time with KD recently for a story. And I love it because it is a dream situation for the Mavericks. But there just aren't many places that he would want to go. So I don't think we have to rule it out that in some sort of complicated three-team trade scenario that Kevin Durant can wake up and say, you know what I want to do? I don't want to go to Miami. LeBron did that. I don't want to go to Golden State. Yeah. I already did that. I don't want to go to the Lakers. That's where LeBron is now, and that would be piggybacking a championship, which I don't want to do. I really enjoyed my time in Texas, so I would like to play with Luka Doncic. And, you know, if you have a player like Luka, I feel like that's realistic. That's not pipe dream. No. You know, that's like a 20% chance, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think it's a pipe dream. I mean, if he wants to do that, he ought to go back to Oklahoma City. You know, if he wants to go back, Oklahoma City has got the ability. You know, they've got the draft capital. They've got everything lined up. I mean, you know, if you want to go, you know, we were talking about KD going to Portland. You know, he does not want people to be all over him about stuff. You know, just go get lost in the, you know, the Northwest, Pacific Northwest, go get lost, you know, where people watch you play and all that. The media won't be tough on you. Fans will
OKC
love you.
OKC is that? Yeah, OKC, Utah,
yeah.
DFW.
I mean, yeah, they're not, those places are not going to be tough on you. You know, the places you're playing, like, you know, Brooklyn and Golden State, they'll be tough on you, you know? So he needs to go where he just mentally will be just fine with it, that he doesn't have the pressure of having to deal with all that.
There is a lot of pressure in Brooklyn. Heck, you know, probably Miami, Los Angeles as well. But yeah, I don't think there's many places that will have the kind of picks or kind of talent that Brooklyn will want to make a deal. And as we've seen, it's become such an agent's league. All the player really has to say is, you know, I'll retire unless you can send me to that spot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, the world starts moving for you.
I don't know if Oklahoma's, I don't know if OKC's a team. I mean, again, they
have so many picks.
They have so many picks, but they've got some really good young players there too. So it might be one of those things where, it's a rebuilding thing, but with all those picks. I mean, he could keep playing basketball with young talent.
That's the team to facilitate a three-way trade, yeah. I think. I don't know if you want to go to OKC if you're Kevin Durant, because you're 33 years old. You need a player like Luka or Damian Lillard, yeah, or Jimmy Butler that can help you win immediately.
But you could also be the guy that goes in and kind of turns the franchise around for the better, like when it was when you were a young guy.
Yeah.
And but the one thing is that Sam Presley, he's going to always going to get young talent. He's got all those picks. He's always going to, you're always going to be playing with young, talented players. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as a bad thing at all.
Okay, and then John Wall is nearing a buyout now after opting in last week. The Clippers, Lakers, and Heat would be amongst the interested teams, according to Yahoo Sports. There you have it, a trip around the NBA. You're up to date as best we can get you. Coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for Rangers GM Chris Young. That's right, the Cy Young Show is next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time now for the Rangers GM show here with Chris Young. Yeah, Rangers back in action tonight. They'll visit the Royals. 6:30 pregame here on 105.3 The Fan. It's brought to you by Texans Can, Cars for Kids, right off the car, not the kid. And the segment's brought to you by Rubin & Associates. If you're struggling financially, facing foreclosure or repossession, have IRS credit card or medical debt, you don't have to face it alone. One phone call. Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders, get you to live in life again. Call him right now, Mark Rubin, at 1-800-LAWYERS. All righty, and here he is now, Rangers GM Chris Young here on The Fan. How's it going, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm well. How are you all?
We are doing well as well. Thanks for asking. I hate to bring it up because it's such an old story, but here we go again talking about the Rangers' lack of sufficient pitching. In your perspective, why have the Rangers always struggled to find quality pitching?
Well, I can't speak to the history of the organization. I'd probably be speaking out of turn if I spoke about just the organizational philosophies. I mean, I do not think moving forward, we're going to struggle to find pitching. I'm very encouraged about what we're doing from a developmental side within the organization. Pitching's hard. There are a lot of organizations that are struggling to find pitching right now. It really is tough. Hitting is hitting's very good. And throughout the big leagues, I know offense as a whole is down, but you know, there are a lot of hitters that do a lot of damage right now. And if you don't have quality pitches or just a little bit of inconsistency, hitters in today's game make adjustments and they punish you for it. So, you know, certainly I think we have a young pitching staff, at least in the starting rotation. You know, our bullpen guys have thrown very, very well. I think we have some young players that have thrown well in the bullpen. I think starting is hard. When you face a lineup for the third time, it makes it really challenging. Hitters make those adjustments. And that's part of the adjustments starting pitchers have to go through. And the best starting pitchers are able to get through a lineup three, sometimes four times a night.
Chris, does it make it hard when your minor leaguers, guys that you've really, the pitching that you've, you know, have down there and are not really throwing all that well right now? Is that, does it make it difficult to think about, okay, we've got to make this, maybe some decisions about our staff on the major league level? Does it make it hard when those guys are maybe kind of scuffling around a little bit down there?
Well, I think to some extent, you want every player to perform well, and that's not realistic. There are players that are going to perform well. Some are going to have down years, both in the minor leagues and the major leagues. And so I think we have at AAA, we had some of the players that we were counting on as depth early in the season got off to slow starts. And I think it's a good lesson for me not to take for granted that player development happens at different paces for different players. And these guys are not finished products just because they're at the upper levels of the minor leagues. They're not finished products when they get to the big leagues, that we still have to continue to develop them. And sometimes the best thing for their development is simply experience, is just getting out there and failing. And then all of a sudden it clicks and you realize, okay, these mistakes that I learned from in the past are now serving me well because I've made the correction. And you really can't replace experience. So, you know, I don't look at it as these guys have struggled and they're, you know, putting us in a bad spot. It's just simply their development is taking a different path than maybe we had hoped in terms of everything going according to plan. That said, we are seeing some good things. There are a few pitchers who have made some adjustments in the last 4 to 5 weeks, and we're starting to see those things pay off, and we're excited about the progress they've made and hopeful they'll become options for us soon.
Our texters say you sound like JD. Have you ever heard that?
I have not, but, you know, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I hope it is. I think that philosophically we're aligned in terms of what this means. I certainly have experienced this as a former player, you know, so I feel like I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chris, okay, you know, as watching this team and, you know, and a lot's being made about, you know, the starts that Marcus Semien have gotten off of and Seager, and I kind of feel like, though, that this team is a lot like them. They're capable of absolute brilliance, and then there's that stretch where you're like, oh, what the hell? You know, it's kind of like, it really, I watch these guys play, and I think, man, what beautiful ball players these are, and what great, you know, and you're just, and they, you know, they're capable of hitting streaks and things like that, and this team's capable, but it's like you just can't get over the hump when you really need to get over the hump. Am I completely wrong about that?
No, I think that's an accurate statement. I mean, I think that we have played very good baseball for, you know, two or three games at a time, and then we'll take a step backwards and have a series like we did this weekend with Washington, where we felt like they were winnable games. We felt like from a talent standpoint, we were on par better than the opponent, and didn't win in two of three games. And we feel like to some degree it was a lost opportunity. That said, it's part of the development of our group, and we're not a finished team by any means. We know that coming into the season, we were not a polished roster, so to speak. We weren't going to compete for at the top of the division, at the top of the American League, given you know, where we are. That said, we felt like we were going to take a significant step. And you know, it's hard to step out of the weeds right now and assess where we are. But I think, you know, it's an improvement over last year, but not even close to where we want to go. And we're not going to stop until we get to where we want to go. And that's, you know, part of the process and the journey that we're on. That said, I think that, you know, we've lost some winnable games. And if you look back on those, I think we could be a better team in terms of our record had we capitalized on those opportunities. And I think that's the part that, you know, can drive you crazy a little bit. But again, big picture perspective, we're going the right direction and we're going to get there.
And Chris, I also want to ask you this question about, you know, with you talking about roster and player development and stuff like that, with guys like Durant, we're hearing him going back down. I know we didn't have a lot of at-bats in minor leagues, and maybe you guys were trying to stay ahead of the curve here on getting him some more at-bats and some more opportunities. The fact that you have so much money tied up in your middle infielders, does that make it difficult of the middle infielders you do have, the young guys, and trying to find spots for them? That, you know, are you trying to get ahead of that right now?
No, I think we knew that when we signed Marcus and Corey, that while we had a surplus of middle infielders in the minor leagues, one, it doesn't guarantee anything in terms of what type of players they're going to become at the big league level. But secondly, it provides us a luxury of versatility and moving some guys around, trying different positions and seeing how they respond, seeing how they do. And so, so I think that's where we are with certainly Durant right now. We're going to we moved him down to AAA. We're going to ask him to play multiple positions. We did not think it would be fair to him to try that in the big leagues, especially in the outfield, to ask him to play a position he's never played at the highest level and perform as well. So I think this is long-term the best thing for his development. We get to find out about a player who we think has great potential and really could – help us fill a hole or an area of need at another position because he has versatility and was able to do this at the AAA level, and he'll be prepared at the big league level.
It's Chris Young here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Teams calling you about Durant? That was pretty impressive there for a little bit.
Teams have called about a number of our prospects. So we are very happy with our system. We're very happy with the way a lot of these guys have played. And certainly, Ezekiel came up and did a tremendous job. He just the poise he showed, the energy he plays with, the aptitude to make adjustments, especially defensively. You know, he struggled his first couple games defensively at third base, and then all of a sudden got really comfortable over there and was made some really spectacular plays in my mind for a player who hadn't played a ton of third base and was doing it at the big league level. So. Very, very excited about Zeke and a number of our other players.
Hey, Chris, okay, I'm going to ask you a draft question because you haven't invited me to come see your board yet, so I got to make sure that I get these questions
in. I was just down in the draft a few minutes ago. We're just getting the board up, so it's too early to invite you.
Yeah, if you need somebody to tilt those tags for you, let me know. I'll be happy to do that. I'm pretty good at doing that. Okay, right. When you look at in the NFL, we always the questions we always ask are, what are the deepest positions in drafts, and you know where maybe there's, you know, where you can maybe go a little long, or maybe you can wait around or on guys and stuff. Are there certain positions in baseball in this particular draft that might be a little deeper than others that you can kind of tell our listeners about?
Well, I there's probably one area I feel confident in saying it's not as deep, and that's the older pitching. I think the college pitching this year, at least at the top, has there were a number of injuries that impacted that. You know, I think in terms of overall depth, really the way I look at it as their primary positions, which are catcher, shortstop, and center field, and those seem to go faster than other positions that where there is more depth. So I think that the primary areas of focus are positions where you need athletic players that can both play offensively and defensively that can have an impact on the game, you know, on both sides of the ball. And I don't know how that compares to the NFL, but those are the primary positions. And then obviously pitching, but as I said, the top of the draft with the pitching is a little different this year as compared to last year, just simply because of the injuries at the college level.
It's Chris Young with you. Pretty good brawl in division last night. You see that?
I did. I saw the highlights of that.
Now, what was your strategy during a brawl? Were you ever in a good one, and what were you looking to accomplish?
I regret that I was in one, my strategy was, at the time, I didn't even know what was going on. It happened so fast, it just, you know, in the snap of a finger, I felt like it was over. And so, you know, I think a lot of times these are big misunderstandings. It's a heat of the moment type of situation where, you know, there's a misunderstanding or something happens that, and players react differently and there's emotion, there's adrenaline. And certainly it's not a good look for baseball. It's not a good look for individual players. But they do happen, unfortunately. And so I think the most important thing is that nobody gets hurt and the guys come out of it. They learn from the mistakes of it and move on and focus on playing baseball.
Now, Chris, it's a good look as an executive to say all that. That was very professional. I think you know, you put forth the messaging that MLB would appreciate. As a player, did you ever feel like, man, forget this guy, I'm going right after him, and if he charges the mound, I want all the smoke? Did you ever feel like that, like a guy got in your number a little bit too much, or maybe you pimped something?
No, I say that, you know, I truly say that as someone who, and I say this now because I was in one, and now my kids can Google it and see pictures and and say, Dad, what were you doing here? You're doing the things you tell me not to do.
Yes. Yeah. So, very good.
You know, I do. More importantly, as a parent, I really see the downside to this. And looking back on the brawl I was in, you know, fortunately, no punches were landed. But, you know, had a punch been landed, it could have really jeopardized my career or the career of any opponent that I threw a punch at. So I do not condone it. I don't think it's good, just from a health and safety standpoint, much less the example you're setting for kids. So I truly, the words are truthful when I say it. You know, I know there's entertainment value for fans when these things happen, but it's really not a good look for the game. And, you know, I think players realize that and they regret it after the fact. Nobody wants to behave that way in public. You do that on the street, you get arrested, right? You do it, right, you know, in an arena, we call it sport. I don't think it's good for the game. And I think that, you know, the most important part is you learn from it and you move on. But as I said, they do happen.
I just brought it up on YouTube. This Derek Lee guy is about to come after you, isn't he?
I knew if I brought this up, you'd find it. And but it was a heavyweight fight. You know, it's something I regret. It was a misunderstanding at the time, but it is the emotion that comes along with playing this game at a high level. And you kind of get that fight or flight mentality at times. And you know, it's what makes these athletes great. It's also at times can be a negative and not a good look for the game.
All right, Chris, I know we've wore you out about this, but I got to ask, is there a rule that teams follow, especially the pitchers? Because I've seen these fights, and those guys are flying out of the bullpen. I mean, they're coming over the wall. So do you get fined by the kangaroo court for not being there quick enough? Or do you kind of, like, you know, take your time getting out to that spot?
Well, I think most importantly, no bullpen member wants to be the last one in there. He doesn't want to look back on camera and see him, you know, 30 feet behind his teammates who are first in there. So I think that's why they're so fast to get in there. But
okay. It
is kind of silly when you talk about the bullpen, you know, flying in there. Nothing good can come from those guys coming in there. They just
no. Yeah,
I don't think it's a good look.
It looks like you're watching Braveheart, like they're coming down the hill. You know, everybody ready to attack. You know,
they're coming fast and furious. Those guys are a little crazy to begin with. Anybody in the bullpen's already a little bit different. So they come in. They're coming in from behind. You just don't know what to expect. So they should just lock them in there, keep them in the bullpen, and keep them out of the mess of the fight.
Yeah, Carlos Zambrano looks like he's coming in here taking his belt off like he's going to whoop somebody.
He was the starting pitcher that day, so I don't know exactly why his belt was off.
Well, listen, from reviewing this video, I could say you comported yourself honorably and like a man, and I'm glad nobody got hurt, and we appreciate you answering our questions about it.
No, absolutely, guys. Thank you, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
There he goes. Thank you so much. That's the Rangers GM, Chris Young, former player, an absolute hoss on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, Derek Lee came out. Like,
Derek Lee's beaned. A big guy.
Yeah, he was beaned, and Derek's like, he gets up off the ground, like, what happened? And he was about to take his base.
Yeah.
But Chris Young walks over to him, like, on the baseline, like, what the hell is this all about? Yeah. And that's what sparked Derek Lee to go after him.
Yeah.
He booted him up pretty good. He did. It's always interesting how much we change when we get between the lines. And yeah, at some point, Chris Young's kids are going to understand that if you get in a fight on the playing surface, it doesn't mean you're a bad guy. You know, things just got a little elevated. Mm-hmm. All righty. When we come back here, it's time to go around the NFL. We'll get you the top stories from pro football here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Let's do it. Let's go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Thanks again to Chris Young for joining us. That was fun. I hope it was an unprofessional ask him about fighting.
No, he tried to put it out there like, listen, and he worked in the league office. So
yeah,
he
and he's a dad it. Now. Yeah, he's going to go high road for sure.
Yeah, it's part of the game, though.
I mean, come on. It was like 2 or 3 fights this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to have one question ready for it. I mean, yeah.
And it's a pretty good fight with him and Derek Lee back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's pretty decent. It's very quick.
I'm going to do my Googles.
But the way that the confrontation happens, like, Chris Young looks like a badass.
Okay.
He really does for how that went down. Real quick, Deshaun Watson updates. The team is getting sued now. Houston is getting sued, saying they enabled the behavior. Negotiations broke down because the league insisted on a 1-year suspension. Charles Robinson Yahoo reporting, a belief inside NFL circles, is that they made a big display out of pushing for a full season. So when the arbiter comes back and only does a partial season, they'll look like they really wanted to be tough on him but couldn't. So this all might be kind of a dog and pony show, wagging the dog or whatever it is. But a big part of the NFL's approach is they want the public to know, hey, if these guys mess up, we're really going to come down on them with severe punishment. They believe it's important for a big part of the fan base to look at it that way. So that kind of gets you updated. I guess at this point, I don't expect Deshaun Watson to start the season and, you know, maybe come back around November or something like that, or December, if I absolutely had to make some sort of a prediction on it. I think for Cleveland, they already made the decision. They're going with football over character or whatever it might be. And I think they still win the trade, even if they got to sit a full year without him because he's that good. All right, second down here, John Machota, our buddy in The Athletic, a great Cowboys media member, has published Cowboys position group rankings, Brian.
Like this.
Number 10 comes in, okay, this is 10-1, at tight end. If Dalton Schultz is worthy of getting the franchise tag, he's the best tight end you have. Nobody is even close, and they're essentially the worst position group on the entire team. That tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it? And I'm sorry if I'm too tough on Dalton Schultz, but I feel like that's an accurate rating, and I salute John Machota for doing it.
Yeah, I think it's more about the guys that are behind Dalton Schultz is what he's trying to say. When you look at the position, if you look at the overall position,
McEwen and Sprinkle and Ferguson.
Exactly. I mean, we'll see what you know. Ferguson, they drafted in the fourth round. We'll see. You know, Hendershot, they really liked this kid, you know, who was a college free agent. You know, Ian Bunning is another guy. I mean, there's just a lot of names, but we'll see who the other two are behind Dalton Schultz. I think it's more of an indictment on them
when you say
on Schultz.
When you say those names, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
I feel like you're the teacher in Charlie Brown. Just going, wah, 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 wah. Ian Bunting, Sean McEwen. Like, somebody's got to impress me. Number 9 on the list.
That's why they're number 10 on the list.
Yeah. Number 9 on this list, the second worst position group with the Cowboys. Safety.
Oof.
I like Curse Hooker Wilson, but Maybe we just like that they're tryhards and they're not as horrible as the safeties they had for the previous decade.
Yeah, I think when, you know, the interesting one will be what happens with Bell, the kid that they...
Marquise
Bell that they got from... He's a transfer, I believe, from went to Maryland and then ended up at Florida A&M. But they like him a lot. And then Tyler Corral is a guy that they've also liked as well that showed up in some of these practices. So this might not be a bad as group, but I think the first three are fine. Kearse, Hooker, and Wilson, I think, are fine. It's finding that fourth one, I think, is going to be the trick.
Number 8 on Mashota's list, power ranking the top 10 position groups. You've spoken highly of these guys in offseason workouts, Brian. He has that vaunted D-line number 8.
I'm surprised about this because that is the one group that when I watch them work out, I kind of feel like they're the best coach group out there. And I feel like when they go through the drills and stuff, when they work together, there's some really some good camaraderie and there's some good technique together where they do.
You'd have an eye for that.
Yeah, I like the defensive line myself. I thought the defensive line was better than the offensive line, but he's going to put this offensive line somewhere.
Number seven is a group that I feel like we've been hyping over the last couple of weeks, couple of months. That's the corners.
Yeah.
He's got corners at 7 with Brown and Diggs. Yeah. I mean, Joseph and Lewis and Wright and Bland, they don't really blow your skirt up or anything like that. But, yeah, number 6 is where you're going to find the offensive line.
Mm. Well, that's, you know, you're banking on what's going to happen at left guard, and you're going to try and figure out what's going to happen at right tackle. But, man, to me, there's questions at left tackle with the health. We'll see. He'll probably play his 12 to 13 games, and then you'll have to figure out that. Is Connor McGovern gone from being in the doghouse to being the starter at left guard? And now did you draft a guy that you have no spot for with Tyler Smith? You know?
That story went away awful quick after the draft. It lasted like 24 hours that he was a project, and everybody started saying he's the second coming of Zach Martin plus Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
Number 5 is special teams. Whatever. Number 4 is wide receiver. There's some love for Gallup and Tolbert and Washington and Fajoco to go along with CeeDee Lamb.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen it yet, Johnny. I mean, I hope he's right. You know, when Gallup's there, Lamb's there. James Washington, man, I mean, we'll see. You know, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, a lot of people, his game was a lot of vertical. Yeah. And we'll see if he can come back. There's also a lot of drops in his game there, too.
Look at you watchdogging Mashota here. You do not agree with this list.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, that's the great thing. You know, he put his name on a list. Yeah. And if you're going to do that, I appreciate that more.
Number 3 is running back. I don't know about that. I think it has the potential to be top 5 on the team. But if you're going to start Zeke and give him so much, he better be healthy and damn good if he's going to be the 3rd best position group on the team.
Yeah.
Number 2 is linebacker. Parsons, Cox, Damone Clark.
Quarterback number 1.
Leighton Van Der Esch. And yes, your quarterback Dak Prescott plus Cooper Rush is number 1, according to the Athletics' John Mashota.
You need to circle back. Let's take this list. Maybe tomorrow you and I take this list and we'll rank them how we think. How about that? We'll do our 1 to 10. We'll put our name on it and let people rip us if they want to. Or I'll do it maybe during Cressy's Corner tomorrow.
That sounds like a plan. 2:40 tomorrow. Get Brian Broaddus' top 10 position group rankings. When we come back, of course, the Expressway fires up at 5:20. We'll give you 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content. But we have some Cowboys news of the evening. Top Cowboys storylines, including the newest piece of Cowboys jewelry you might want to pick up. That's next to the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.